the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222, and the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Indeed, it is. Top of the morning to you, everybody, or whatever time of day it is, wherever you are. For over 25 years, Robert Bruce has actively explored mechanics, the energetics and dynamics of all things considered paranormal, especially OBE, the human energy body, kundalini, clairvoyance, healing, occult criminality, countermeasures, psychic attack, and self-defense. While disliking labels, Robert is probably best called a metaphysicist, somewhat of a recluse. That's what they call me, too. Something of a recluse. Robert is rarely seen in public, and his services have never been for hire. Never. Robert values his privacy and prefers to use his abilities helping others and, of course, as research tools. Robert is the author of Astral Dynamics, was co-founder of the book Capturing the Aura. Ooh. He currently has several books and tutorials underway. His worldwide website carries some of his earlier written work. These are now being regularly updated with new materials relating to Robert's work and interests. Born in England, he currently resides in the land down under near Sydney in sunny Australia, home of the year 2000 Olympics. Of course, now we've got Salt Lake City going on. So actually, he is in Australia, and we had to dial about three times to get what is a decent connection, which I hope we have. We'll test that theory in a moment. All right, we have two major subjects that we're going to cover with Robert tonight. One concerns astral dynamics, and one concerns his new book, which I want to begin with. I want to do things a little bit backwards. Practical Psychic Self-Defense. And first of all, from, I think, are you in Perth, Australia, Robert?
Yeah, round about that way.
Round about that way. Okay.
Yeah, near the Black Stump, yeah.
Okay, well, welcome to the program. It certainly is great to have you. I guess it's, what, the middle of the day there or morning or something?
Yeah, great to talk to you too, mate. It's about 3 p.m. here.
About 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's more comfortable than it is for a lot of the people on the receiving side of this program right now, middle of the night here.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Robert, I did an entire program one night not very long ago for people who have been psychically attacked, in some cases by entities, Robert, with physical bruising, sometimes while sleeping, sometimes at other times of the day. But I did an entire program simply talking to people who have been attacked by they don't know what, entities or something. What can you tell me about what might be out there? Is this real?
Yes, it is very real. Unfortunately, modern scientific materialistic thinking ends at the physical body, begins and ends there, mm-hmm. and they don't recognize anything beyond the mind. But yes, entity attacks from what I negative spiritual beings, what I call negs, which covers any kind of entity, whether it's a demon or an evil spirit or an earthbound spirit gone bad. No, they're very real, and they can do physical damage. I've had quite a lot of physical damage myself over the years from attacks like that, and I've helped a lot of people with similar problems. Even one you don't always get physical damage, but it can be a result in
yes.
extreme cases.
News in the last couple of days has also been fascinating. There's a Vatican spokesperson saying that the Pope has been doing exorcisms. It was an amazing story, Robert, in which young women were spitting out parts of transistor radios. I don't know whether you saw the report or not. just amazing stories from the Vatican of our current Pope doing exorcisms, one as recently, I think they said, as in September. Had you read that?
No, I haven't, but I have some contacts at the Vatican, particularly with Monsignor Balducci, demonologist there. And yes, I'm aware the Pope does exorcisms, and there's been quite a bit written about them, people vomiting feathers, coal, fire.
Yes.
And some, but this is typical demonic manifestations. They're quite predictable, really.
All right. Can you talk to what are the various sorts of things out there? I mean, what are we dealing with, Robert? Are these really demons, as the Catholic Church considers them, representatives of Lucifer inhabiting the bodies of human beings for periods of time? Are these the minions of his? Are these just sort of spirits that are here on Earth, maybe of the once departed? Maybe they were lousy personalities in life, and now they're lousy personalities in death. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we dealing with?
All of the above, Art.
All of the above?
All of that, yes. There are demons. If you believe in angels, Art, by default, you really believe in demons because they're opposite numbers of each other. And if you look into the Kabbalah, you will see the hierarchy or rankings of the opposing forces. You could say angels on one side, demons on the other. But beneath the demonic ranking, there's a lot of different types of evil spirits, what I call astral wildlife, are the lowest of the low, fairly harmless types that just try and scare you and may do a bit of poltergeist activity. Above that, you get some quite nasty evil spirits, astral snakes and spiders. And
well, wait a minute. Let's go back for a second to astral wildlife. I love that term, the astral wildlife. Is that sort of like, it's a term that I don't understand. I sort of understand it. Astral wildlife, does that mean some lower level spirits like
yes, yeah, it does.
I'm sorry, I'm struggling with this because I want to understand. Is it like animals?
In a way, yes. A lot of them seem animalistic. Keep in mind these are my terms for them. I've researched the out-of-body environment quite thoroughly over many, many years, and I've obviously spent a lot of time there, and I took a fresh approach to all that and tried to work things out and discover for myself. So these are my terms for them. The lowest of the low order would be the types of entities that hang around new projectors and attempt to scare them and frighten them out of it. Higher up, you get some nastier types, and the stronger they are, the more rare they are, until you get to evil spirits and things which will actually attack people and harm them for their own reasons.
Well, again, is it really evenly split among those, the departed human spirits who are still here on Earth and true representatives fairly close in the hierarchy to His Majesty of the lower world, or, you know, what?
No, it's not really like that. And you can take a classical Kabbalistic view of it, of the angels versus demons, and as far as that goes, that seems to be fairly accurate. They are particular orders of beings. But beneath that, the majority of entities beneath that aren't demonic, you have elemental type beings, and that most of them are indifferent and or harmless. They have their own agenda and their own purposes. But there are quite a significant amount of types out there that are predatory, they opportunistic feeders, they attack people, and will attempt to attach to and corrupt people even.
Opportunistic feeders.
Yeah. A lot of the lower types especially seem to feed off the life energy, the life force of human beings.
Huh. I've heard it said frequently they feed particularly off fear, which they generate, I imagine, rather easily.
Yes, well, fear is not so much generating a type of energy. You could say they feed off fear metaphorically, but they actually feed off your life force. They initiate fear in a person by scaring a person, and what that does, that when you terrify somebody, their natural inbuilt shields start to drop. It's like how if you have an animal that is absolutely terrified, say a dog, it will roll over and expose its throat and belly.
That's right.
It's not a submission. It's like it opens you right up, and then they can gain further access to your mind and your energy body for whatever they want to do, depending on the type, of course.
I have an OBE question for you, and I'm going to set it up this way, Robert. I have talked, and I realize that you are an expert in this area, but I've talked to a lot of people about out-of-body. I've had a couple of pretty wild little experiences myself.
Yeah.
So I know it's absolutely possible and it's real, but every single expert that I've ever asked about OBEs, one critical juncture that we always get to, Robert, is the following. When you are out of your body, is there any additional danger to you in any way? Could you encounter negative forces? Could you perhaps even be subject more likely of a possession when you're out of your body? Could something possess your body, or could something go wrong, or could something negative happen to you? And every expert I've talked to on OBEs has always said, oh, absolutely not. It is the safest thing in the world to do, that anything that goes wrong will take you right back to your body right away. Nothing evil can happen. You cannot be possessed. What do you say?
Well, I agree with them in part, but there are a few things that can go wrong that can injure you. You can come across evil spirits and demons during an out-of-body experience, and you can get into trouble. Not so much physically. Keeping in mind, you never actually leave your physical body. The original copy of your mind and your memory and your spirit always stay in the body. During an out-of-body experience, your body generates a perfect energy copy of itself,
really?
A thinking copy, which is you.
Really?
And at the moment you have an OBE, there is something that I call the mind split occurs, when you split into two completely separate beings. And this normally happens while you're asleep, but with training you can stay awake and have actually two of you functioning at the same time. And so, as this is an energy copy, if you do get into trouble out of body, and I've tested this to the limits, if you do get out of trouble, if that projected copy of yours is damaged or destroyed, the original copies of you are safe inside your physical body. They never leave it while you still live. But you can suffer energy depletion, and if your astral body is injured, those injuries can translate, because you're talking about the causal level, into the physical body, and you can get strange marks. As you were saying earlier, people were getting physical injuries on their bodies.
Oh, Robert, I had a whole night of it. I mean, four solid hours of people being attacked either psychically or actually physically.
It is far more common than people believe.
Obviously.
Generally put down... Yeah?
I'm sorry, we've got a little delay here, so we've got to be careful. But my comment was obviously it's a lot more common than people would say, lest I could not sit here with jammed lines for 4 hours. It was amazing.
Yes, yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know what the percentage would be, but I would say I've dealt with hundreds and hundreds of people with problems from possession to all heavy influence problems and that, and it's probably 10% of the population suffer this sort of problem at some time or other.
That's very interesting, 10%. I've got some figures of my own tonight that come, again from the Vatican, and they said that about 31% of those who ask, here it is, more than 30% of the people who request exorcisms have engaged in activities like witchcraft, according to the Paris Archdiocese. And then they break it down from there. 23% suffer pathological problems, delirium, hallucinations, so forth. 15% suffering depression. But a full 31% of those asking for exorcisms have been in the darker, witchcraft, that sort of thing.
Yes, that would be pretty accurate. If you look at the other percentage, though, I would like to point out here, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? If you've ever suffered psychic assault, and a good psychic attack will usually last about a month, that causes depression. It can cause hallucinations. It can cause all of the problems you talked about there, psychological disorders, stress, trauma, all of that can be caused by the actual psychic attack or entity attack.
So you're saying their percentages may be skewed because some of the other, those 23%, may be really under psychic attack?
Very possibly. They could also be paying lip service to modern science, trying to justify it, to find a bit of support for it. But yes, in my experience, everybody who is under psychic attack has some mental disorder, because a psychic attack unhinges you. It is very distressing, and it will cause a temporary, usually, mental disturbance.
Have you been psychically attacked yourself?
Oh, yes. I've had regular psychic attacks, including demonic attacks, for the last 15 years, up until, that was since the time I became possessed, as I mentioned to your producer.
Well, you didn't mention it to me. What do you mean, possessed?
Well, it's a long story. I've been working in this field for quite a long time, and in my late 20s, I came across people who had entity problems and possession. I was working as a healer, so I tried to help them. And I helped several people with obvious, I was talking about rolling around, thrashing on the floor type possession. I've released several people like that, but I was immune from any attacks myself until the time I tried to exorcise a 5-year-old boy who had horrific problems.
Where was this?
This was in Australia.
In Australia, a 5-year-old boy. What kind of problems was he having?
Frequent manifestations, occult manifestations around him. I should say paranormal, not occult. Lots of poltergeist activity, ghostly shapes around the house, night terrors, the full bit, learning disorders, speech disorders. Lots of physical stuff as well.
Oh, brother. And so I take it that you were sort of a last resort. People would do a lot of other things, wouldn't they, before they'd come to somebody like you?
Yes. Look, this family I was helping had tried everything to help their little boy. The doctors gave them medications and things and called in psychiatrists and that, because the symptoms of entity attack in a child are identical to child sexual abuse. They have exactly the same symptoms psychologically.
I can imagine they would.
Because that is what's happening. If you take such a child to a doctor and explain the symptoms, he will automatically be reaching for the telephone to call in the psychologist and possibly the police to investigate. So, anyway, they've run out of options, and they've come across me through some friends by word of mouth. And I tried to help this child, and I still had never really suffered a major a possession attack myself. And I tried everything I knew to release this child, and it would not go. I managed to release him temporarily for a few days at a time, but it would always come back.
Did you identify what it was that was inhabiting this child?
Yes, it was a demon, yeah. The demonic hierarchy, yeah. Very nasty.
A high-level demon, then?
Yes, it was, yeah. The boy was totally enamored by it and kept calling back.
Do you have any idea why it picked this boy?
No, this is very hard to work out. You can look at karma and things like that, anything you like. I mean, this boy came from a fairly clean living household, you know, non-drinking, non-smoking, just normal people.
All right, I want to get the whole story. We're at the half-hour mark, so hold on. Stay right there. And we'll come back and we'll talk about the 5-year-old boy and then apparently what happened to you. Exorcism is a very, very dangerous business.
Shark Belt in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
It is, and on the other side of the world, we're speaking with Robert Bruce, who's written a couple of very interesting books, one about astral dynamics and the other, about to be out on the market, Practical Psychic Self-Defense. He's way down in Australia, and he's an expert in these matters. Quite obviously, we're in the middle of a story about a five-year-old child. We'll get back to that in a moment. Just a brief bit of news for you. The sun is going berserk again. And I mean really berserk. You should see the line of M-class flares that are occurring, and they're talking about the possibility of a large X-class flare. So when we should be on the downside of things, the star that gives us all life is really going crazy up there right now. Once again, to the other side of the world, in Australia, Robert Bruce. Robert, welcome back. This five-year-old child that you were asked to assist, probably as a last-ditch kind of effort, how long, describe what you did and tell me how long it took.
Well, what I normally do in a case like that is I put myself into a full trance and connect with my higher self. And normally I just give healing at that level and it removes anything. That was back then. Mm-hmm. What I did, I tried everything I could to shift this thing out of this child, and there was a lot of heavy manifestations in the room while I was doing this. His mother was watching, and including, you know, the child's eyes glowed red and that sort of thing. In desperation, I was running out of ideas and things to do. I did something very, very foolish. I told this thing, basically, take me and leave the child.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the that is, in essence, giving it permission, then.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly, which seems to be an important issue, especially with demons or higher order entities. And the instant I did that, it struck me. In a way, it hit me in the mouth, in the lower right lip, paralyzed me. And where it hit me is quite important. It swelled up very, very quickly, and I had a lump there the size of a walnut. Uh-huh. And I was paralyzed and tortured, is the only way I could describe it, for about probably 15 minutes.
In what manner? Can you describe what you felt?
Yes, apart from the incredible pressure on my mind, it felt like I was in a vice from the waist down, and my legs and hips were being crushed. It was incredibly painful, almost like drove me to the edge of insanity even. And then it broke away, and also I fought and I collapsed on the floor. I had a blood nose and a big swelling in the lip and that, but I'm a bit shaken up, but I felt okay. But to go on with what happened after that, leaving the boy behind, I failed then, obviously. A few days later, I was sitting reading, and my right hand just reached out and grabbed something and threw it against the wall on its own, without my bidding, and that shocked me. And over the next few days, there were more and more losses of control. My leg would reach out and kick something on its own. And these were not jerky, like, nerve movements. These were fluid movements. My hand would reach out and grab a glass and throw it on the floor.
Oh, God, that's weird.
Yes, and I couldn't feel my hand doing it. It just happened so quickly. I resorted to even, like, tying my hand to my side for a while, but that didn't work. Now, these episodes of loss of control and continued over the weeks to build up. And I started having blackouts. Well, not really blackouts. I was aware of what I was doing, but it was like I was pushed out of my body. And with my experience at OBE, I know I was like in an out-of-body state, and I was watching myself do things and say things that I had no control of. And so what was happening, this entity was learning how to control me.
What is that, like, Robert, to feel your arm or your leg or some part of your body do something you're not willing it and telling it to do? I mean, something completely, totally alien. What does that feel like?
It's freaky. It doesn't hurt. There's no pressure. I mean, this is not, you could say, not like a psychic attack when you've got feelings of dread and cold shivers everywhere. Your hand just goes out and does something very quickly. And but you were completely aware that you didn't intend to do that.
Then were you just left wondering what the hell just happened?
Yes, exactly. So this started getting worse, and it culminated in an episode on a rooftop car park. We'd driven into town, a friend of mine, and his wife, and my wife, and we had the baby in the back of the car, my youngest son, and I got out, and we were 10 stories up, and got the baby out of the car as usual, and as soon as I picked up the baby, it took complete control of me, which is what I call virtual puppetry.
Oh, my God.
And marched me to the edge of the rooftop car park to make me throw the baby off.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yes, and jump after it. And I had no control. It was like, you know how the car bogs when your wheels are just spinning? You're trying to move and do things, but you're just not connecting with your body?
Yes.
It's an amazing feeling. But with my experience with OB, I tried everything. I was no novice at that state, and I managed to regain control just at the last moment and very quickly put the baby down.
All right, well, that's going to cause me to immediately ask you about something, Robert.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story you just told. Now, I have, in this country, story after story after story of people doing things like that, inexplicable things that are just criminal, and axe murderers, and people who eat other people and throw people out of windows, you name it. And I've always called them head shakers because there's simply no rational way to understand why they did what they did. I wonder if what you're talking about here, in some percentage of those cases, or maybe even a high percentage of those cases, is what's really at work.
Yes, definitely. I think when you have a case where a perfectly normal person suddenly loses control and does something horrific, I think that's a very clear sign of a possession attack. There was a case I heard of a few years ago where, this was in Australia, where a man who was a good father, nice man, he was at home having dinner one day with his wife and his three daughters and his best friend there, and he just walked outside, picked up an axe, and killed everybody. He killed his friend, his wife, his daughters, the dog, the cat, even the budgie. And then he started on the neighbours. He was, of course, brought down and locked up. Police got there fairly quickly, thank God. Now, he was taken to jail and locked up, and his mother was caught as the only surviving relative.
Yes.
And she went and saw her son, and she walked out of there, and she said, "That is not my son.
Not my son.
My son does not have a green face and red eyes. Thank you very much." But a couple of days later, or the next day, that man reverted to normal and was left to face the consequences of what had happened. And no amount of talking will get you out of that one.
I take it, in Australia, you do not have the death penalty, do you?
No.
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 Here we do, Robert, and if people are convicted of a capital crime, particularly of that heinous nature, they're likely going to lose their own life because of it.
That would be a kind thing to do to a person who'd done something like that, because how could you live with that? You have the memory of doing that in your head. It's not like a blackout, usually. It's, you usually have a memory of it.
So, oh, yes.
But, it's very unfair.
Huh. I guess if what you're saying is true in a percentage of the cases, then yes, you would say it is unfair.
Yes.
Of
course, it's unprovable by modern science. They don't recognize it. Anything paranormal.
Well, I wonder if that's about to change.
I think it will do in the near future, yes, as our understanding increases.
Now, of course, people are going to say that's going to lead to the devil made me do it defense, you know, and it certainly would. Those people would be right, but maybe you're right, too. It's not exactly the devil, but a demonic influence of some sort. You're really sure in your own mind, Robert, I mean, to take a child in your arms to the edge of, a precipice, to throw it off, have you ever tossed around in your own mind your own sanity? In other words, that at that moment, it was not some sort of evil entity that was doing this to you, but rather some form of your own insanity. I've got to ask about that.
Yes, I have done a lot of work on myself in that area. Well, you say, I've definitely considered that at great length, but the symptoms I experienced were so alien, so outside of me, that it wasn't me doing it. And I've seen this in other people. Very quickly, if somebody did use that as a defense, common sense would say that you could not release a person like that back into public again, because the danger would always be there until they were completely exorcised, which is a very difficult thing to do.
Is the danger always there with you?
With me?
Yes, sir.
No. No, I defeated this thing and released myself from it.
How did you do that?
Right, what I did was, there is no cure for something like that. I had the choice. I could either kill myself,
mm-hmm.
Have myself locked up, or find another way.
Did you consider those things?
Yes, I did, definitely, yeah. Yeah. And, it's a hell of a thing. I mean, literally a hell of a thing. You know you are losing control, and you can't do anything about it. And you know what it is, but nobody would recognize it.
Well, as you walked to the precipice with that child in your arms, you were aware of what you were doing, right? You could
yes,
see...
Yes, I was aware of what was happening.
You could see what you were doing, you could feel what you were doing, but you couldn't
yes.
stop what you were doing.
I'll tell you how it was. I wasn't looking through my eyes. It was like I was standing about 4 feet behind and to the side, watching myself doing it from a distance, third person. I wasn't inside my body.
Wow.
It was it was an OBE type experience, and it's just spinning your wheels. Nothing will work. It's a total puppetry type state. But releasing myself was how I discovered a lot of the things I put into my new book, Countermeasures in Practical Psychic Self-Defense.
And you are convinced that the entity that was driving you to the edge with this child was the same one that entered you from that that 5-year-old?
Yes. Yes.
That never really left, I guess, huh?
Yes, there are. There's certain indicators. One of them is a lump in my mouth, which over a few days hardened to a gristly lump, granuloma-type lump. Now, if you do some digging in... read the Witch Hunter's Handbook and old Vatican records and that, and there's millions of texts written on demonology around the world, you will see references to something called stigmata diabolus.
That's right.
With the devil's mark. Now, my work has shown that when a significant evil entity attaches to somebody, it causes a physical manifestation, usually some kind of skin blemish. Now, and the most significant of these are the hard, gristly lumps. During the witch hunts, the primary method of identification was they would search the body for this stigmata diabolus mark.
Mm.
And according to them, you had to be able to push a needle into it, and it would neither hurt the person and it wouldn't bleed. So it had to be a gristly type lump for that to occur. Now, if that was found, you were nicked. There was no defense. But if they didn't find anything, you were released. And there are several cases on record where people have been released after a physical examination during the witch trials.
How many innocent people during the witch trials were burned or executed or killed?
Well, that's hard to say. It was a very involved thing. There was a lot of money-making going on and human nature and property stealing and stuff like that. So the basic tenement to what they were searching for, there is some truth to it.
In other words, there really were and are witches.
Oh, definitely witches, yeah.
And you're saying there is a physical way is it a fairly flawless way to identify them?
I wouldn't say flawless, because there are, medical reasons why those sort of lumps and marks attach, appear on your body. But you can tell with that sort of lump, if that appears very quickly, I mean almost instantly, at the time when you suffer something like a possession attack, then you could pretty well narrow it down to that is associated with what just happened, the psychic attack. Now, the interesting thing is here, when I release myself from this entity, that lump, the instant I release myself, that lump burst inside my mouth into 100 pieces and bled and left a big hole inside my lip. I've still got the scar there.
Wow.
So that shows you the relationship. Now, I've tried to be in touch with the Vatican over this, and I've emailed them and written them letters, including letters written in Italian, trying to get some comments and feedback on this, because if you are doing demonic exorcisms, you would have to be blind not to notice the relationship between these lumps and the actual possession.
During the time that you were possessed and you were doing these things, particularly with a child, Robert, I guess in your lucid, self-possessed moments, you would consider something like killing yourself. How close did you come?
Oh, very close. I'm an honorable man, and that would be an honorable solution. And I would figure then that I win by default, because I've never harmed anybody. And I'm a very gentle man. It's just not in my nature to hurt anybody. I couldn't stand to do that. So that was a way out, but what I did was, I had no knowledge of what to do with this. I'd been along to a few psychic healers and people who basically rolled their eyes back in the head and, couldn't do anything for me. They tell you to visualize some white light or something, but it doesn't work. Not in a case like that. So what I did in desperation, my third choice was to literally do what I believed as a mystic and to basically surrender my life to God for direction. Because I figured, logically, given all that I'd done and all that I planned to do, including writing the books I've written and the ones I'll write in the future and helping people, my higher self, God, whatever you want to call it, would try and contact me with a message, some clue to help me. That's logical.
Sure.
So I'm grabbing the bull by the horns. I walked out into, it was actually a stormy night, a pouring down of rain, and I staggered through the wilderness for hours, bouncing off trees and things in the dark, knowing, and I was fully convinced that I would get a message. And the message came, a scrap of rotting paper stuck to my leg after I fell into a ditch. And there was writing on it, and I thought, yes, that's it. Whatever it says on there, there's a message there. I knew it. So I took that home, had a look at it, and it told me to... it basically, interpreting it, it was an advertisement for a tree nursery up in the hills, right out in about 50 miles out of town, right in the bush, we call it over here, in the wilderness in the hills.
Yes.
Very deserted area. And so I said, right, that's where I'm going. And I packed up a swag and a couple of basics, like a blanket and that, and I headed out there. And I stayed out there in the hills for a week or so, starving, no food, just sleeping on the floor. And halfway through that, I nearly died of thirst. I ran out of water, and I was miles from anywhere. I'd never make it home. And I got another little bit of guidance. I was sitting up on a hill, waiting to die, very dry, and I wrote a few notes to my family and figured I'd be found one day, because I wasn't taking that thing back with me. I was going to die first.
Uh-huh.
I was absolutely committed to that. And I sort of, said a prayer and said, hey, I could use a bit of help down here. And the most curious thing happened. It was a cloudless day, brilliant blue sky, and a tiny little cloud appeared a few hundred yards from me up in above the valley. And this got bigger and bigger and bigger until it formed this, a sizable little cloud. And this formed into the shape of a person, of a head and shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very clear, very distinct. And this was a deity I'd encountered several months earlier when I raised my kundalini.
You're certain you were not hallucinating because of the lack? Listen, we'll pick it up right here. We've got the top of the hour coming up, so relax, and we'll pick it up at that point. There are going to be those who will say it was a delusion induced by dehydration, lack of water. But others will know better. Some degree, it just depends on what you believe. This really is some story, isn't it? Robert Bruce, from way, way down south in Australia, is my guest. You're in the nighttime with Coast to Coast AM.